Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on listener questions when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think is wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong, very wrong with the Ten Commandments, because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and they've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national consciousness. You know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments and that model of government. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You don't have to know what the penalty to the law is in order to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happened to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. And best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click on to the right page on our website and you can download that free general law CD package. If you're not online, you can call us and we'll send it to you by snail mail anywhere in the world. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we've been answering questions here from our listeners, and I've been going through some examples of categories of information that people want, and there was one more big one here called economic questions. We get a lot of biblical questions. We get a lot of argumentative questions. We also get a lot of these economic questions. So let's see. Instead of writing me a letter and saying, Mr. Gordon, when do you think the bank holiday is going to occur? I think I've received more letters about this bank holiday. Okay, I don't know because I'm not a prophet. I don't have any contact with Ben Bernanke or Tim Gaither, and they haven't written me any emails or letters and told me. So all I know is what I read in the papers. But historically, every bankrupt nation that has ever lived goes through this bank holiday thing. In Latin America, it has happened many, many times in the past. So here's a couple of three clues here. Write these down. The bank holiday, when it occurs, will always occur on a Friday, without fail. Never. Never has there been a bank holiday that didn't occur on Friday. So they strike on the weekend, and as soon as the banks close on Friday, then they got Saturday, Sunday, and sometimes they'll continue the bank holiday through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. And what that means is that the banks are closed and you can't do any business. So to prepare for that, you should have some money available. The money that I suggest that you have available are the coins of your country, whatever those coins are, the clad coins of the United States. Because if you've got a gold coin and you walk into your gold broker, put it on the counter, nothing he can do with it because he can't get any money out of the bank either. How long do these bank holidays last? Up to 6 weeks. You should be prepared for 6 weeks. Now, the one that occurred in Russia in the 1990s, about 95 or 96, it was over in 3 days, and they came up with a two-tier currency of which one currency was used within Russia and the other is used outside of Russia. What are they going to do in the United States? I don't know. When there's a devaluation, when this new money comes out, will there be a devaluation? Assuredly. So let's suppose you got $100,000 in the bank. After the bank holiday and you trade your money in, you'll probably have, it could be 2 to 1, 4 to 1, 8 to 1, 16 to 1. Does that mean that if you got $100,000 in the bank, when they get through, you'll have $200,000, $400,000, or $800,000 in the bank? That has never occurred in history. When they declare a bank holiday, they will devalue the money, and your $100,000 will depreciate to $50,000, $25,000, $12,500, $6,000, $2,000, $1,000, or something on that order. You will take it in the shorts. And that's why we have always recommended to our students over the last 10 years, at least 10 years, that you not have dollar-denominated assets. So if you have a 401k savings plan, and let's suppose you got $100,000 in it today, in a 2-to-1 devaluation, your purchasing power will drop in half overnight, over the weekend. Is that bad? Well, it sounds pretty bad to me. Now, you could cash your 401k in the morning, and you'd have to pay $20,000 in taxes. You could take the $80,000 left over and buy gold. You'd have 80 ounces of gold. And then when the bank holiday occurs, and the money is depreciated by half, then instead of losing $50,000, you'll have only have lost $20,000, but the price of gold will double over that same weekend in the new currency, which is devalued by half, and now all of a sudden you got $200,000 worth of the new money. What its purchasing power will be based upon the inflationary binge that'll follow that, I can't predict. Now, so far, we have not made a dime on gold. Now, I know a lot of people are out there saying, well, no, Gordon, wait. The price of gold's gone from $275 to $900. That means we've made a lot of money. No, you haven't made jack diddly squat. The value of the dollar depreciated by 100% between 1980 and 2000, 30% more between 2000 and 2007. You're behind at least 130%. The price of gold in 1980 was $850. So we have to have $850 plus 130%. So let's take 850 times 1.30. The price of gold has to be at least, let's take 30% would be 2, 3. So it'd have to be 1,900 bucks, bare minimum. Probably closer to 2,000, 2,200. That's just to equal the purchasing power of 1980. So, we haven't made any money. We haven't lost as much as you people that are in dollar-denominated assets. You people in stocks and bonds, 401ks and cash, have taken it in the shorts. You people in real estate, you're taking it in the shorts. Now, the other day, a guy called me from California. A nice guy. And he's been to my school, and he's really just a gem of a guy. But he has a problem making decisions. And so some years ago, he said, what should I do? And I said, well, you should sell your real estate, convert it to gold, put your gold in a hole in the ground, and wait until the prices collapse, and then go back into the real estate market and buy back. Well, he had about a $500,000 or $600,000 duplex at the time. He now has it ready, and it's on the market, and it's on the market for $500,000. Well, he's way behind the power curve, because now the value of it's about $300,000, and it's depreciating at the rate of about 13% a year. And that's assuming that you could find a buyer right now, which there aren't very many buyers out there, because who wants to buy a $300,000 duplex today that's going to depreciate another 33% or to go down to $200,000 over the next 12 months? So the guy missed the train. That's all there is to it. Train's pulled out of the station, it's gone, and he missed the train. Which is all right. He still has the duplex, and he still has his other real estate holdings, but you could have pyramided those up. Now, the other day, the price of gold and silver, the gold-silver ratio, hit 70 to 1. That's a regular gold mine out there for arbitrage. And so, now I hit that train a couple of times in the last year. People want to know about the Amero. That's the new currency. And I have heard rumors that it's already printed up, and that during the bank holiday, which I heard rumors the other day would occur August the 24th, I don't know when it's going to occur. It's going to occur at some point in time, but I don't know when. I'm not a prophet. And they're going to put this new currency into circulation, and there will be a corresponding depreciation in the value of it, which is going to give us god-awful inflation. And I think we're headed toward hyperinflation, like they've had in Brazil and Argentina and Chile and various countries, Mexico and so on. To hedge against hyperinflation and inflation in general, you need gold, silver, you need stuff, you need the food, you need the things that you're going to be buying, things you're going to need over the next 4 years. So you need to have a four-year supply of everything that you're going to use. Now, sometimes people write me letters and they say, well, that's all right for you because you're rich, but I don't have enough for 4 years. Well, okay. Well, I hear you. So your standard of living is going to take it in the short. So just get used to the idea that you've been buying gasoline at the rate of, well, when the price of gasoline is $9 a gallon, you're going to buy a lot less of it, aren't you? Does that mean that you're not going to buy gas? No, you're going to buy gas. You're just not going to buy as much. Now, I used to have a motorhome, and when I filled it up, it took about 60 gallons of gas. So I would drive it 500 miles, and I'd fill it up with 60 gallons of gas, and drive it 500 miles, and fill it up with 60 gallons of gas. And when gasoline was $1 a gallon, I bought lots of gas. Now that gas is $3 a gallon, I don't buy as much. I don't go as far. I don't use it as much. How simple that is. The same thing's going to happen to you. So we got a bank holiday coming up. We got a change of the currency coming up. We got your 401k savings, which are going to take it in the shorts. And there's an example here of Brazil. See, when Brazil did this back in the 80s, I believe it was, you had $1,600 in the bank. They just leveled all bank accounts in the country to $1,600, and so it didn't affect you at all. You had $800 in the bank on Friday. Monday, when the bank's open, you got $800 in the bank. But if you had $3,200 in the bank on Friday, on Monday morning, you had $1,600. If you had $100,000 in the bank on Monday morning, you had $1,600. See how simple that is? Now, there's a big target out there called the 401k and Krogh plans, all of that. It's the biggest chunk of money left in America. They're already holding hearings on seizing all of the independent savings plans of the American public and then giving them to Social Security to finance Social Security and Medicare. If I was a betting man, and I am, I am betting that they're going to seize your 401k and your individual retirement account and give it to Social Security. And they'll give you a receipt for the amount of money that they took. And like California, you will have this piece of paper that you can't buy, sell, or trade. can't use, but it says we owe you. Now, that's what I'm expecting, and so if you would like to be tuned in to these economic questions and answers, get your pen and paper out here. I'm going to give you three sources of information. If you're getting your news from Katie Couric, Brian Williams, and who's that guy, Charlie something or other on ABC, they have the official government line, the official government spin. Now, every night, I make it a point at 5:30 to stop what I'm doing and come in the house, and for an hour and a half, I watch Katie Couric, Brian Williams, and Charlie Gibson, and Jim Lehrer of the Lehrer News Hour. Every night, I watch them. On Friday night, I watch Washington Week, along with those just mentioned. And then I watch Now with David Brancaccio, Bill Moyers, and who's that gang that yells and screams all the time? I don't know. McLaughlin? See, I pay attention to the standard, regular, everyday garden variety lies that the government puts out. Now, they're not lying to you all the time. I mean, they're giving you some facts. But their conclusions are usually in error. Now, they're telling you that the recession is over, or that it's headed toward the overs, and that everything's going to be fine. Well, okay. Believe it. Get after it. And then every time I hear that, I run down to Tim and Jim's and buy another load of food. And every time I listen to that crap, I run into my gold broker and I trade more gold for more silver. I am preparing for the most god-awful, worst depression that God has ever thought of. The numbers that are coming out of the privateer, the international forecaster, and the money changer, when compared to 1929 to 33, are worse today than they were in the first 18 months of the last Great Depression. Yeah, I hear what the mainstream press is telling us, and then I see the numbers on the other side, you know, like from shadowstats.com. So there's two sides to the story. People that listen to the news on television get one side, and I get two sides. I listen to the underground press and the mainstream press. And then I report on both, and so there's your story. Now, if you got your pen and paper out, the number one paper that I recommend is the International Forecaster, put out by Bob Chapman, $160 a year. And let me see if I got a number, $159.95 a year. If you paid three times that, it would be worth every damn nickel. If that guy charged you $500 a year for that newsletter right there called the International Forecaster, you would not have wasted one crummy nickel. It's $160. Comes out twice a week. Just looking at the August 12th issue, it's 31 pages. 31 pages. I have never picked up an issue of that newsletter that I didn't learn something from, and I'm 70 years old. Not one issue have I ever picked up that I didn't learn something. All right, that's number one. Number two is The Privateer. And The Privateer is put out by William Buckler, B-U-C-K-L-E-R, and they're down in Australia. So if you'd put, in this case it's $180 Australian. I think it's about $130-$140 a year. You know, about the same price in round number. Comes out twice a month, 12 pages. Not a page more, not a page less. 24 pages a month, comes out 25 times a year. 25 issues. And it's $5 an issue. Trial subscription is 5 issues for Australian $25. 6 months is 12 issues, $100. Annual is 25 issues, $180. 2 years, 50 for $300. If this guy charged you the same $500 a year, you would not have wasted a nickel. I have never picked up an issue of The Privateer that I have not learned something that I never heard of, never knew before. Now, these are what we call the underground newsletters. These letters go out typically to investors and people with money. Generally speaking, waitresses, truck drivers, carpenters, plumbers, and electricians do not subscribe to these. Let me suggest to all of you blue-collar workers and you waitresses and housewives that you subscribe so that you can get a handle on reality. A handle on reality. And most of you people have your head so far up your dear ears that you ain't never going to see daylight for the rest of your life. Most. But, hey, listen, I didn't make it that way. I'm just here as a reporter. Just telling you this is the way it is. And if you want a copy of The Privateer, you want to subscribe, go to The Privateer. It's the-privateer.com. There's a hyphen between The and Privateer. On the International Forecaster, if you just go to theinternationalforecaster.com, it'll put you on their webpage. Theinternationalforecaster.com. www.theinternationalforecaster.com will do it for you. Now, there's a third paper that I subscribe to and I recommend highly. It's called The Money Changer. It's actually a tabloid newspaper. It comes out once a month. I do not know what the price is. Franklin Sanders sends this to me. Well, all of these guys, they send these to me free because I tout and promote their newsletters. But Sanders now is the only guy alive that's touting silver. Sanders understands the arbitrage between gold and silver and practices it. Now, I'm not sitting here saying the other guys don't understand the theory behind it, but Sanders actually practices it, so. And he wrote a book, you know, Why Silver Will Outperform Gold by 400%. That's just one. His address is Franklin Sanders Money Changer, Post Office Box 178, West Point, Tennessee. You know, West Point, New York, where the academy is located. Well, this is West Point, Tennessee. Zip code is 38486. 38486. Now listen, he's also got a telephone number here. It's 888-218-9226. 888-218-9226. Franklin Sanders. Now, Sanders, you know, nice guy. Now, last time I heard his report on me, he said, Gordon, you know, is a nice guy, but he's got his head right up his hind end. See, many of these people don't agree with me. And so, you know, I'm not suggesting that you call them up and you tell them, hey, George Gordon recommended you, because these guys may not be recommending George Gordon. I don't know. I make everybody mad over time, you know, not intentionally. I mean, I'm not sitting here trying to make you mad at me, but when you give the straight skinny report, let me tell you, ticks people off. So, the bank holiday is coming. There's a change of the currency coming. There is a god-awful depression coming. And sometimes people write me letters and say, you know, I think you're stupid. Well, okay. So what else is new? I'm not here trying to get you to believe how smart I am. I just said, what's coming now? How do I know that? Well, historically. The last Great Depression between 1929, that's October of 29, and March of 33, took 3.5 years to reach bottom, and the stock market dropped 89%. Now, there was a drop, and then there was a 60% recovery. We've had a drop and a 60% recovery. This is what's known as a dead cat bounce. So this depression that we're experiencing right now is a carbon copy of what happened from 1929 to 1941. Only this one, all the fundamentals are much worse than the 1929 depression, and I expect that all of the outcomes are going to be worse then. That the stock market's going to drop more than 89% when it's completed. That housing is going to drop way more than 50% when it's completed. That unemployment is going to top 25% when it's completed. That all of the negatives of the 1929 depression will be repeated in this 21st century depression in spades. And the people that aren't prepared for it and aren't ready for it will take it in the shorts, just like they did the last time. That's all. So our mission here is to tell people, well, here's what's coming, so why don't you get ready for it? And if you don't get ready for it or you're not ready, well, okay. I'm not going to save you. I'm not here to save you. I'm not pleading with you to give your heart to Jesus and get saved here today, because I don't care what the hell you do. It might be a good idea, you know, but I'm not here necessarily to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong. All right, so we have the Bible questions, the economic questions, and the argumentative questions. So I've covered those three items here for you. Now I got about three more letters here that I thought I'd run through. A guy by the name of Rudy from Singapore wrote a pretty lengthy letter here. And I thought he had a couple, three good points in here, and he's got a question he'd like answered. And we get this question quite often from people, especially people that are from around the world. Not so much from people here in the United States, but, you know, people from South Korea and Japan. And they're asking me, what in the hell do we want to listen to you and this Christian Bible crap for? Well, Rudy kind of puts it into perspective here, and I thought he hit the nail right on the head, so let me share it with you. He says, I am Rudy. Now, remember, this guy's in Singapore. He's a Chinese guy. I'm a frequent listener to your radio program, and I appreciate your efforts on the air very much. By listening to your radio program, I learned many things, and one of them just slapped me right on my face when I realized that the laws of the Scripture, particularly those of the Old Testament, are still in full force and effect. Being a former Christian myself, such belief was unthinkable to me in the past, but it should not have been really a surprise because I hardly read the Scriptures in the first place. Anyhow, now that I know the Scripture is good, and it's time that I make some serious changes. One comment and one question here, if I may. I am from the Southeast Asia region, and I'm of a Chinese ancestry. By the way, my name that I mentioned in the beginning is simply a localized name. You have mentioned on the God of the Scripture being the God of the Israelites. These people, as you talk about time after time, don't only include the Jews, they also include the white Anglo-Saxons, if I recall correctly. All right, Rudy, you're exactly correct. There are 12 tribes of Israel. 12. The Jews represent one tribe. So where's the other 11? Well, they're in England, France, Scotland, Ireland, Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, Iceland, Greenland, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Belgium, Germany, and France. And there are Israelites scattered around all over the world. South Africa is one. Rhodesia was another. I don't know if there's any whites left in Rhodesia, but there used to be. All right, so there are Israelites everywhere, and these are what are called in the Bible the chosen people. Chosen people. Now, Rudy goes on, he says, now, probably I just have to be more diligent on reading the book and get the answer straight, but nevertheless, your answer is deeply appreciated. My question is, what is God's position or the scriptural view on a Gentile? Are they, or can they be under the old covenant somehow? The answer to your question is yes, they can. And the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul is called the Apostle to the Gentiles, is the book that explains it in spades. In spades. Now, there's another little part of the riddle here, which is in Matthew chapter 22. So let me flip over here to Matthew chapter 22. The little story here deals with us Israelites. There's a wedding feast comes up, see? And in this wedding feast, this is called the parable of the wedding supper. Parable of the wedding supper. And Jesus answered, and he spoke unto them again by parables, and he said, "Now the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are hidden, which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Now come unto the marriage supper. But they made light of it, and they went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies, and he destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go you therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said to the man, he said, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Well, Rudy, you just happen to fit right into that parable now, don't you? Now, you see, we Israelites over here were bidden to the wedding feast. And we all said to God, Hey, listen, we ain't coming. Now, you can take that wedding feast and stick it where there's no daylight. Well, okay. So that's where we are. So, God, the Creator, went out and he said, Hey, Rudy, hey, you over here in Singapore, or where are you from? Yeah, Singapore. He said, Hey, why don't you come into my wedding feast? Now, Rudy, when you get to the wedding feast, make sure that you're wearing a wedding garment. And the wedding garment is the Ten Commandments. You make sure now that you're dressed appropriately for this event. This event includes the Ten Commandments and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments from the Creator. Make sure you're wearing the wedding garment or you're going to be speechless. So when you get there, you want to make sure you got something intelligent to talk about. All right, now with that in mind, and with the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, and now all of you Gentiles around the world have been invited to the wedding supper, and those of us, the Israelites, are going to find ourselves cast out. Well, no, not forever, but we're going through a Great Depression right now, and when he gets through with us, we're going to wish we hadn't been born. My guess is, kind of like my old dad one time, he got a hold of me, and he said, I'm going to turn you every way but loose. And he did. And he said, when I get through with you, you're going to wish you hadn't been born. That was one of the few times that my daddy spoke. And by God, he wasn't exaggerating too much. I think I was about 11 or 12 years old. I didn't know you could hurt that bad and still live. I mean, I hurt bad everywhere. I don't remember what I did, but it must have been pretty bad because I hurt pretty bad when it was all said and done. Now, that didn't happen to me very often because I was a pretty precocious kid. I could read my dad like a book. Boy, when I saw my old daddy with his hands in his pocket and that change was smoking and I could hear that jingling in there, boy, I shut up. Now, there was a time to speak and there's a time to shut up. Boy, I could tell when it's time to shut up. Not a pretty smart kid. But I'm not sure that the Israelites know quite when it's time to shut up. Now, you know, we've been sticking this sodomy and this abortion and this Sabbath breaking up in front of the old man's nose now in this country since 1950. And I'd like to suggest here, at least in America, I won't speak for all you Canadians and the rest of you because you ain't near as bad as we are, but here in the United States, this thing of sticking this sodomy, this in the Bible is called sticking the branch under my nose. And here's God himself. He says, will you put the branch to my nose? Do you know what putting the branch to God's nose is? It's called the finger. I never did give my daddy the finger. I couldn't imagine what would happen if I would have ever given my dad the finger. Hell, I'm 70 years old. If my dad were alive today, I wouldn't give him the finger. I'm not quite sure what old dad would do if I did. So I never did find out. But we Americans are going to find out what happens when you give old dad the finger. Because we've been giving them the finger now for 59 years. And he's about had a belly full of it. Now with that, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school than The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order that by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our webpage and download it directly. Then you may have to go to georgegordon.com, georgegordon.com, to download that. Now, that's what somebody told me the other day. If you have a problem and you can't do it, then just give us a call on the telly. Call us right there on the telephone, and I'll put my boy Dirk on. He'll tell you how to do that. All right, now the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review, they may be hostile, they could be political, sometimes they're religious or economic, sometimes they're sectarian. They can be racial, they can be ethnic, they can be partisans. And their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear in this program, remember, that's mine and mine alone. Please do not blame these beliefs and these opinions on the advertisers or the sponsors or management or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. They didn't have anything to do with this. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we are answering some questions here for our listeners here over the air. And I'm also giving you some guidelines here as to what it is that we answer, what we read. You know, if you want to write to me and get an answer, keep it short and to the point. Six lines right at the top of the page. See if you can give me a yes or no. Would you ask the question so I just answer it, yes or no? Then I can just sit here and write no. And thank you for your input. Put it back on the line to you. Now here's a small comment. He says, this is Rudy now from Singapore. He says, here's a small comment. I began practicing some of the health laws of the scripture. I don't practice, or I have yet to practice all of them. He says, oh dear, I am a lot healthier than I was in the past. I no longer eat pork and prawns, if I'm not mistaken on this. That's correct, Rudy. Pork and prawns are against the law. And if you'll go to Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, tell you what to eat and what not to eat. Very simple. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do this. Your preacher probably couldn't find this in the Bible with both hands and a roadmap. But if you'll go to Leviticus, that's the third book in the Bible, Leviticus chapter 11, or Deuteronomy, that's the fifth book, chapter 14. It's called the Clean and Unclean Meat Laws. And you may have a few questions, you know. You may say, well, what's cloven hoof mean, or what does chewing your cud mean, or, you know. A cloven hoof is like a cow. They got a split hoof. A horse doesn't have a split hoof. A horse doesn't chew his cud, doesn't have a split foot. They're unclean. Don't eat horses. Cows, sheep, goats, buffalo, reindeer, they have split hooves and they chew their cuds. They're called ruminants. Sheep, goats, and so on. You can eat those. But don't eat the fat. So simple that is. Don't eat the fat. So I somewhat wonder whether a mutant breed, an exception like me, can have anything to do with the God whom your fathers made covenant with 3,300 years ago. I guess I may. Sabbath is for man, not man for the Sabbath, and that would include myself. Simply put, the obedience of a law of a sovereign means the worship of the same sovereign. But I am just predicting, though. Well, you're exactly right, Rudy. When you practice the Ten Commandments, you put yourself at variance with the government of Singapore. Practicing the Sabbath, practicing the Ten Commandment model, Chinese guy, hey, listen, you can expect the first resurrection. Now, it's true, you know, that this deal was made to us, but, you know, we kind of blew it. And hell, you guys out there in Africa and Asia and South America, hell, this thing's open to all you guys. So take advantage of it while you can. And by the way, I seriously have no idea of getting out of this national idolatry which I'm trapped in now. And I'm aware of 1 Samuel chapter 8, that is, no, God help us. The fact that I don't know how to escape simply means that I'm very much a hypocrite, a pretender right now. I may at one time claim that I want to research out the scripture for the solution, but then at another time I give up for a time being. I guess that's the penalty for my sins, or my father's and all my grandfather's sins. No inherited sin here. You're going to pay for yourself. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18. And the sins of the father are not visited on the sons, and the sons' sins are not visited on the fathers. Every man's going to pay for his own. So, I would suggest that if you want to get out from under this great tribulation, you might want to get in harmony with practicing all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments. He says, oh, one more thing. Do you send the free general law CD package overseas? Yes, we do. And if you don't, never mind. However, if you do, I'd like to order the package to the following address, and I thank you if you indeed send one. Even if you don't, never mind. The radio program is actually more than enough. Once again, I appreciate you for your radio program. Now, the purpose for sending out this general law CD package is to explain to you what our eight schools are about. Eight schools. You need all eight. If I put out 10, it would be because you need 10. I didn't put out 8 because you only needed 3 or 4. I put out 8 because that's what you need to know, what you need to know. Now, you start off with tax and status, business, courtroom strategy and procedure, the Mosaic Law and Doctrines. That's the first four schools. And then you can go on from there. All right, Rudy, thank you for writing the letter. Now, you can just go to your, now that you sent me an email, you can just go to your website, georgegordon.org, and click onto it. And I think you can download that free general law CD package right there where you're at. If you can't, then call me on the telephone or send me another email and say, hey, would you please call me? Send me your telephone number. I will call you on the telephone 10 times faster than I'm going to sit down and write you a letter. And that's the way that game's played. All right, I think I had another one here from England. Let me see if I got a little time here. Yeah, I've got a couple of minutes. Here's a guy from England wrote to me. He said, yeah, I'd like to get your CD package. I'm going to Greece to visit with my daughter for a few weeks. I've listened to many of your broadcast talks, and I'm convinced of your sincerity and clarity, and your points of view are intriguingly. Oh, that's what that is. Intriguingly down to earth, to say the least. So if you'd kindly send me your four-hour information CDs, it'll be appreciated. I'm 60 years of age. I've attempted to live by the Mosaic Code, albeit sporadically, as life has its own taxing tests. Nevertheless, I find your outlook refreshing and close to the heart, and I wish to look further into your school and teaching. So avoid further long-windedness. I await your reply in due course. This is John in James's Gardens, London, England. All right, again here, John, just see if you can download it yourself directly, and if you can't, give me a call on the telly. Once in a while, I get a call from overseas. You know, a guy used to call me pretty regularly from Spain, and we'd talk, you know, for a little while on the telephone. Let's see, what do we got here? This guy is called Gord, G-O-R-D. Is this Ranger Gord from Canada? Let me see where we're at here. Howdy from Canada. Oh, my God. Who's that guy? Red Green? Hey, Gord, G-O-R-D. Oh, my God. I'm getting a call here from Ranger Gord from the Canadians. All right, Gord, here we go. Thanks for your wonderful audios. I'm grateful that there is someone out there who knows what the hell they're talking about. Now that I'm an avid listener and, God willing, an avid student in the future, I'll know what the hell I'm talking about as well. Not only that, I'll be able to apply successfully in a commercial Babylonian mystery school, temple, or court of law, the very laws that our two countries used to be based upon until they were legislated away by an unfriendly government back in the 1930s. Well, you hit the nail on the head there. Now, the Canadians to this day are still pretty honest people. We Americans have degenerated into a bunch of damn perverts down here. I'm ashamed to say it, but that's the way it is. Now, we have quite a few Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders, and Western Europeans that communicate with us and take our schools and so on. Now, most of the time, you guys are asking, does that work here? And it works in all the countries with Anglo-Saxon administration. In fact, it goes better than that. Say you people in India, Bangladesh, and Pakistan, see, the English came over there and they brought Anglo-Saxon administration there. And even though you people have broken away and become independent, you still practice Anglo-Saxon administration. Do you know that? You blacks down in South Africa, you're practicing Anglo-Saxon administration, whether you know it or not. And that's special. And half you people of Africa are still practicing Anglo-Saxon administration. So, yeah, you're still practicing some of these biblical laws. I'm formally requesting your four-hour CD package and offering for my personal edification and general bemusement and listening enjoyment. I always get a kick out of being exposed to the ugliest of truths, and I'm quite studied in the art of feigning a cool, calm collectedness when really deep inside I am horror-stricken and totally unbecalmed in the worst way. I am ready, dear sir, for my education in the law as it still stands. Hey, that's a good observation there, Gord. George Patton made that. He said, any man that says that he's, when he's in a battle, that he ain't scared, he's either stupid or lying. And for what we're about to embark upon, I mean, I've never been through a great tribulation before. I mean, this is like Moses, not Moses, but this is like Noah getting into the ark. We've never done this trick before. This is brand new. This is a brand new trick. And it kind of takes my breath away, too. I've been preparing for this thing for 30 years. And let me tell you, now that it's upon us, it's breathtaking. Breathtaking. I always knew something was rotten in Denmark, and now I know why. Rather than chasing vainly after internet whispers and conspiracies and the latest UFO sightings and alien abductions, I'd like to redivert my wandering gaze toward the study of truth as it was told to Moses. Then, if you'll excuse me, I'd like to go to the Sovereign District of Columbia and kick me some money lenders out of the Father's Temple. Real pronto-like, all the time remaining in honor, of course. Sit back and relax here, Gord. God himself is going to kick those turkeys out. There's an ass-kicking coming in this country like nobody's ever seen in history. Go to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Write that down. Leviticus 26, whole chapter. Deuteronomy 28. Now that's what's coming here upon us in the United States. Now I wouldn't be a bit surprised by what you Australians and Canadians get it right along with us. I mean, you guys deserve it just like we do, but you know, compared to us, you deserve about 10 times less of an ass-kicking than we do. And I suspect that we're going to get about 10 times more than you guys. Now, for you Australians over there, look north to the Chinese. That is going to be the most god-awful occupation you people could ever dream of. And I suspect that that's what we're going to get over here in the United States and Canada. I think that the Chinese are coming over here. And here in Deuteronomy 28, God says he's going to send a stranger from afar, a nation whose tongue we do not understand, who will have no regard for the old or the young. They're going to put us all to the sword. And so this is going to be one god-awful ass-kicking. Anyway, Canada is a better place to hole up in a lot of ways than most places here in the United States. Now, we have about five regions here in the United States that are not too bad for holding up. I have covered that a number of times. Everybody out there in your families, you need to. The only way you're going to save yourself now to this is individuals and families. If you think you're going to save the Catholic Church, or you're going to save the Lutheran Church, or you're going to save the NAACP, I think that you're going to be sad. You're not going to save the Republicans or the Democrats. God himself says, I'm going to get them all. But individuals that will obey God and keep his commandments, I think you can probably evade this. Anyhow, he says, I would love to know about the trade costs of your first level status and tax class, home CD course, of course. In other words, what's it cost? Okay. Call me, Gord, and we'll tell you. And I'm also interested in sitting with you in person. You can do that right here in class. This program is done on compact disc with all of the supporting documentation. So I tell the story on CD, just like you hear me on the air. Okay, let me explain this income tax thing to you. It's fairly simple to understand. And then when you get through with the program, I recommend that you come down here to school. You know, just the last time I had some Canadians here, I had three or four of them from Canada. And that's, in fact, that's all. Well, I had a couple other guys here in class from the States, but it was the Canadian class. And that's pretty helpful. And if you get four or five of you Canadians, come down here, Australians, you know, come over here and sit down. You can talk to me live and direct. You know, I put my pants on one leg at a time. I'm just another Joe Sixpack, just like you. In fact, a lot of students, they'll turn around and say, you know, that guy Gordon, I thought he was God, but he's just like we are. He's just a farmer, just a farm boy. And that's right, just a farm boy. but I'm not brain dead. I think that's the only saving grace about me. I'm not brain dead, not yet. And I'm also interested in sitting with you in person and take the knowledge I have in my head and like to take it to another level. So I'm pretty open to learning many new and exciting things. That's it for now. Take care. Oh, this guy's name is Gordon. G-O-R-D. Gord. His name is Gordon. G-O-R-D-O-N. Well, good talking to you there, Gordon. Thanks for riding. Give me a call. We'll tell you what the prices are. See if we can't scope you out here for the Canadian class. All right. Now, that's most of the story that I have here. And letters. Remember on these letters now, when you write a letter, keep it short and to the point. See if you can put your questions in such a way that I can answer them yes or no. I can get more done that way. Try not to be rambling. Try not to write a whole long letter. See if you can send an email on one page, one question. If you got 10 questions, send 10 emails. It's a hell of a lot easier for me to shuffle through 10 emails on a page. One on a page. Answer one question at a time. Try to avoid these long-winded answers. You know, where I got to do a lot of legal research, and then I got to sit here and write a legal brief to explain this to you. See if you can avoid that. And then let's see if we can't teach you how to do the code pleading yourself. Remember, what you need now is a Strong's Concordance. That's the first book you got to have. Strong's Concordance. The one I've got here, I've had for about 50 years. I'd say it cost me $50 50 years ago, but I've got some here that later on I bought, and I was distributing them for $28 each. So be prepared to spend $50 on a Strong's Concordance. It's a big, thick reference book. And then once you get that Strong's Concordance, and then you learn how to do this code pleading, I mean, hell, you can do your own research, and then you don't need me. Which is important. Here at the law school, we try to teach our students how to fish. We're going to teach you how to do your own legal research. When you get through here, you should not be dependent upon me. If when you leave here, you're still dependent upon me, then I have failed in my mission. When you leave here, you want to be medically competent. You want to be able to treat your own gallstones. Your own kidney stones. You want to be able to cure your own cancer. You should be able to identify cancer and cure it. You should know 14 ways to cure cancer and then select the single most expeditious modality for you in your case. And do it based upon your own knowledge and don't rely upon me or oncologists or doctors or dentists or anybody else. You know, you're free, white, and 21. You ought to be able to understand that and look at it. What causes cancer? You should be able to say, I can identify the cause of cancer. And I had to violate one of these 19 laws to get cancer. I had cancer not too long ago. I don't know, my jaw. Some of you students might remember. God, I had the most god-awful, ugly, open sore on my jaw right under my ear, my earlobe. It took 2 treatments of about 6 weeks each to kill that cancer and get rid of it. Now I'm back to normal. But I caused that cancer myself, and I cured it myself. And now I'm going to work real hard to see if I can avoid doing that to myself again. So that's what the law school is all about. I want to teach you. Here's what the cause and effect relationship is, and here's how that works, and here's how you keep from doing that twice. Hey, I'm out of time again. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and we stress adults only. No kids allowed. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.